Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Please come with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll start in verse 10 and we'll look to verse 13. It may also be helpful if you'll locate this piece of paper entitled Discovering Your Priceless Treasures in Christ, Awareness of the Adversary. Awareness of the Adversary. Now, let me again point to these letters. Technically, we're starting Vacation Bible School tomorrow. And ABC stands for Admit That You Are a Sinner, Believe That Christ Is Your Savior, and C, call upon Him. But for this day and this moment, let's transform the ABC into a memory device. A means the adversary. B is beaten by Christ. The adversary is beaten by Christ. 1 John 4:4 is so important. I remember when I learned that scripture in high school, I remembered that a 4x4 is a big stick. A 4x4 is bigger than a 2x4. A 4x4 is a weapon, and I thought, I'm going to take the weapon of God's truth and whip the devil with it, because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Now, some of you are here today, and you desperately need to hear this truth, because there are imaginary chains that bind you. Chains from the past, chains from people, chains from problems. And friend, let me dive in. You're losing the battle. You've got a real adversary who wants to hurt you. I like to play with words. Have you ever thought about this? The word live, L-I-V-E, when you turn it around is E-V-I-L. Live, when it's twisted, becomes evil. And when you add a D to it, it's the devil, D-E-V-I-L. You see, there are pictures all around us embedded in the things that we encounter that try to put us on the alert. Because my job as your spiritual coach is to dial you into the great truth of what God's Word is telling us. I want you to be aware of this adversary. In 1979, a man named Charlie Daniels, he wrote and sang a song that became very popular. Do you know that song? Maybe it was called The Devil Went Down to Georgia, and he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind, he was way behind, and he was willing to make a deal. And the rest of the song tells the story of a guy named Johnny. Johnny was a fiddle-playing machine. And the devil tempted him at a point of vulnerability. Do you know Johnny's vulnerability was his success? Johnny's vulnerability was his ability to play a fiddle. And the devil wanted to hook into that. And they had a little contest. And he was willing to put his soul on the line for a fiddle made of gold. Well, you know the rest of the story. Of course, Charlie Daniels is not going to let the devil win. But I can guarantee you the devil wins a lot, and he may be beating the fire out of you. And that's why you need this message today. Let's begin here. Let's begin with this notation, to beware of the misconceptions. Beware of the misconceptions. Sometimes we underemphasize the reality of Satan. Some people deny that Satan even exists. Polls reveal that almost 87% of the people asked, do you believe in angels, say yes. But when posed the question, do you believe there is a real personal force of evil called the devil, only about 40% say yes. That's interesting, isn't it? You see, we don't want to acknowledge that maybe there is an evil force that is lurking out there trying to hurt us. But I'm telling you, that plays right into the devil's hand, because if you discount the devil, if you dismiss him, you become disarmed. You see, if you are unaware of the adversary, you are essentially unarmed, and you're not ready to do battle. The Bible tells us that there is a real battle. And so let me help dissolve any misconceptions. Now, I'm not advocating that you overemphasize the devil. I had a friend in seminary, and he got on a kick where he was talking more about the devil than Jesus. He told me he would drive out early to his church in South Louisiana, and he would exorcise all of the pews and just cast the devil out of the pews, cast the devil out of the pulpit. And I was really concerned about that one. But I'm telling you, you don't want to overemphasize the devil because you're essentially glorifying him. You don't want to overemphasize or underemphasize. You don't want to maximize. You don't want to minimize. You simply want to realize what is the reality here. And the reality here is you have an adversary. Well, let's see what God's Word says. Come with me again to Ephesians 6. And as one of your spiritual coaches, let's drill down into verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, stand firm. Let's pray. Father, I pray again that you would get me out of the way. Your truth here is so important. And I ask that you would help your people to be at full attention, to become soldiers of the cross, listening for your instruction. I pray that your Spirit would take your transforming truth and apply it to every receptive heart. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I've told you many times before that the Christian life is not a playground. It is indeed a battleground. We are at war. There is much on the line. And so God is speaking His truth to us about this battle that we're in. He says, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. The concept of wrestling is this is hand-to-hand combat. This is real. It's close. There's a personal, malignant force of authentic evil in this world that is the counterpoint to God, and He wants to hurt. He wants to hurt you and God's children. The picture here is that there are unseen forces in unseen places. What does this mean? In the heavenlies, there are spiritual forces in heavenly places. What does that mean? Let me give you a simple picture. There was a man named Joseph Lister who was a physician in Great Britain. This British surgeon started reading the work of Louis Pasteur in 1868. And Lister, he realized that Pasteur, who was using a new device called a microscope, was developing a study on the unseen world just beyond our eyesight, the world of germs and microbiology. You see, up until just 150 years ago, there was not an awareness of this unseen, hidden world. And doctors, the British doctors, they would go do an autopsy on someone who had died of some foul disease, and then they would go do surgery, and they had no concept of washing their hands or sterilizing the same instruments that were just used to cut into a diseased corpse. I mean, there was zero concept that what was unseen could do devastating damage to you and others. So a lot of surgeons did more harm than good as they tried to make people better, until Joseph Lister came along. And after reading Pasteur and microbiology, he started a program where they would use carbolic acid to sterilize their equipment and the wound site of a patient. They would also use heat to sterilize and kill these microgerms. And all of a sudden, a lot fewer people died from poor medicine because they realized that what they could not see could hurt them in a bad way. Did you know, side note, Joseph Lister, in 1879, they developed a new mouthwash called Listerine, named in honor of him. It was a mouth antiseptic named Listerine. So Joseph Lister at work again. Now, my friend, I'm here to tell you that in the same way Lister discovered there was something beyond his sight that could be deadly to you, there is something beyond your sight in a realm called the heavenlies where there's a battle going on. And we need to be aware of it. We need to be dialed in to this reality. So here's what I want us to do. Let's explore. Let's just be dialed into who the adversary is, and let's just explore, number one, your opponent's origin. I'm going to make you aware real quickly of your opponent's origin. Who is the devil? By definition, the devil is the chief of the fallen spirits, the primary adversary of God and man. Satan is hostile to all that is good. He is called the accuser, the deceiver, the father of lies. In John 12:31, Jesus even said, the devil is the prince of this world system. Note, he did not say he's the king, because the Lord Jesus is already King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he has power. Now, where did he come from? If you'll note here in Isaiah 14, many theologians link Isaiah 14 to Lucifer. Lucifer, we learn, was the head of the demons. And the scripture tells us in Isaiah 14, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly to the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. You see, this is the spirit of Satan himself. God made these angels, and he made these creatures that were bright and beautiful, yet he invests them with a free will, just like me and you. And that's a dangerous thing to possess. A free will says, I can choose. And these angels evidently wanted to take over God's throne. And so they fell. Actually, if you go to Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, you find another piece of the puzzle of the origin of the devil. There's a battle that raged in the heavenlies, and the angels battled those who were in revolt, and they were thrown down. You see, here's the essence of sin. Sin says, my will, God, not your will. Think about that. The essence of sin for my life, for your life, traced all the way back to Satan himself, is when you resist the will of God. What did Jesus say in the Garden of Gethsemane? Not my will, Lord, thy will be done. You see, that's the essence of what God wants from you. He wants you to surrender. He wants you to submit to him. And he wants you to morph my will into thy will, Lord. I will follow you. So I want you to begin by exploring the origin of the devil, but let's move to his goal. What is the devil's objective? Now, the devil's objective, that's number two, explore your opponent's objective, is very simple. It's very clear. The devil, he is condemned, and he wants to hurt you. He wants to take you into his condemnation. For instance, we learn in John 10, verse 10, Jesus is speaking here. He said, I've come that you may have life, but you have an opponent. You have a thief who has come to kill, steal, and destroy. So the picture there is that the devil is to hurt you, like a thief hurts you and robs from you. And then we learn in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour. These are both pictures that we can understand. We understand that a lion is a carnivore, a predator, an adversary. You would not go walking on in the plains of Africa in lion country because you would be courting death and destruction. You see, the Bible is making a couple of pictures here that we need to pay attention to, and I would apply them to your life. Understand who the devil is. He is here to destroy. He wants to derail the work of God. Let me take you to Luke. This is so interesting. In Luke 22, verse 31 and 32, Jesus is talking to Peter. And Peter has the ability to be very cavalier. He's even at the point sometimes of being braggadocious and thinking that he is impervious to the work of the devil. But listen to what Jesus said. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, you will strengthen your brothers. My friend, I want you to understand that the devil is real, and he is going to sift you or test you. Let me show you how the devil steals. Let me give you a couple of other scriptures here that are just fascinating to me. For instance, in Luke 8, verse 12, here's how the thief operates. Luke 8, verse 12, we learn that the devil, he will do this. This is the parable of the sower and the seed. The seed is the word of God, Jesus says, and those beside the road who have heard, after they hear, the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. I would nominate that as an extremely far-reaching statement that came from Jesus. The devil is engaged in the salvation process. And when the word of God is thrown out into the field, evidently the devil is actively trying to thwart the work of God to create salvation. And the devil, it says, I mean, this is Jesus. He is there trying to snatch the word away. My goodness. That's why I've told you on countless occasions that when we come to an invitation time, when you come to a worship service like this, you can be assured that Jesus is the King of Kings, but there can be distractive forces all around us, distractive forces that are cunningly seeking to pluck the word away from those who are trying to pull out of darkness and into life. This is what Jesus asserts. And then let's take it a step further. This is how Satan sifts. We learn in Luke 8, verse 26, catch this picture. Jesus and the disciples sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite of Galilee. And when they had come out into the land, a certain man from the city met him who was possessed with demons and who had not put on any clothing for a long time. He was not living in a house, but he lived in tombs. If you'll study the scripture, on eight occasions, Jesus encounters people who are literally possessed with devils, with demons. What does that mean? I mean, I'm here to tell you, I don't fully comprehend it, but it gets my attention. And here was a man who had so given himself over to the evil influence of the devil himself that this guy had inhabited him, and it affected his mind, his behaviors. He stripped himself naked. They tried to chain him, but he resisted. Do you remember what Jesus did when he encountered him? This man realized that he was in the presence of God, and he knelt before the Lord, and the demons inside of him screeched out. And they said, don't throw us into the abyss. So for some reason, Jesus chose to put them in this herd of 3,000 pigs. By the way, that is the origin of deviled ham. I don't know if you knew that. But anyway, those pigs, they were possessed. And what did they do? Well, what does evil always make you do? You see, the devil is there to kill, steal, and destroy. Did they have a pig party? No, they went rushing over a cliff to their death. You see, that's what Satan does. When you unleash him, when you unmask him, what happens? He's there to kill, steal, and destroy. You see him at work. My friends, I could go on and on, but I would urge you to lock down on this truth. It's as simple as John 10:10. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life. But I have an opponent. There's an adversary who is a thief, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. All right, let's come now to how he operates. Let's go to number three, explore your opponent's operation. This is absolutely illuminating. Here is how the devil operates. I don't want you to be unaware of his tactics. You're a soldier of the cross. Remember, Jesus said in John 12:31 that Satan is the prince of this world. But the scripture never assigns to Satan the attributes of God. Satan is not omniscient. That means he doesn't know everything. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere. He's not omnipotent. He's not all powerful. But Satan is a prince. He has power. And the scripture says, and this is so fascinating because it links to the temptation of Jesus by Satan in the wilderness. Look on your worksheet. When the devil had finished all of his tempting, he left Jesus until an opportune time. Until an opportune time. That's in Luke 4, verse 13. Of course, the rest of the story is that, follow this. In Luke chapter 3, what happens? Jesus is baptized. Now, you can mark this down as great truth. Jesus is baptized in Luke 3. And after his baptism, the Spirit of God descends on him in the form of a dove. But here's the simple truth. It's easy to remember. After the dove comes the devil. Because what happens in Luke 4? Who shows up? The devil himself. Jesus is out preparing for ministry to redeem humanity. For 40 days, he goes without food. And the Bible says when Jesus was at a weak point, when he was vulnerable, Satan slides in. He slithers in. And he starts to tempt Jesus at the point of vulnerability. What was the first temptation? It was his appetite. It was food. Hey, why don't you turn these rocks into bread? You got to be hungry, Jesus. See, that's where Satan always starts. He starts with simple things, with your appetites, what you eat, what you drink, where you go, what you do. He just starts to tempt you. He starts to lure you in. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is a fisher of men. So is the devil. Devil, he's out there fishing for people. This is one of my favorite ways to express it. I love to fish. And of course, fishing is based on deception. You hook a fish by deceiving them. You take a big old hook and you put a little piece of bait on it, like this plastic worm. This is called a pumpkin seed lizard, by the way. It is the best plastic bait there is. I caught many a fish on this pumpkin seed lizard, right, Mike? I mean, this thing will catch them. And you put that pumpkin seed lizard out there in the right place, and this bass thinks that it's a salamander, and they hate salamanders because they eat their eggs in the spring, and they're delicious for lunch. Oh, that bass is having breakfast on that guy. And when he sees that piece of plastic bounce off the bottom and come up, that predator, he comes and attacks and he snags. And he thinks that he is having bass breakfast. But no, I'm going to eat him for breakfast because I'm hooking him. That's how it works. And you see, Satan is exactly the same. He dangles something tantalizing in front of you, something that appeals to your appetite or your ambition. And he says, here you go. Oh, that'll be delicious. Don't you want to bite? Come on. Just one little bite. It won't hurt. Nobody will know. Just go ahead. Turn it on that channel. Just look at this stuff. Just taste this stuff. And that's when the hook is set. And you think that you're getting a treat. Instead, you get beat. That's how it works, friends. Satan, he's a fisher of people. And the Bible says that if he had the tenacity to tempt Jesus, don't you think he'll come after me and you? You can be certain of it. As a matter of fact, let's say that you're growing in Christ. Well, mark it down. New level, new devil. You know who he's really after? People like me. People like you. I mean, I learned a long time ago that Satan drew a target on my back. Because if he could take me down, he would hurt a lot of people. New level, new devil. So be dialed in. Be savvy, be aware of your adversary, and he comes at you in the right time. It said that he would let Jesus alone until an opportune time. He looks for times when you are weak, susceptible, vulnerable, hurt, to move in close and whisper his lies in your ears. Be aware of how he works. And let me show you one more thing. I want you to explore, number four, your opponent's outcome. This is so encouraging. What's the result? You see, the devil is a prince. He's not the king. The devil is a deceiver. He's not the truth. He will be defeated. And the scripture says that Jesus, in Genesis 3, verse 15, in the Word of God, Jesus predicted that Satan, the serpent, he would be in a battle with Christ, and the Christ would crush his skull. And after he crushed his skull, his heel would be bruised. Of course, that's what's happening at the cross. What happened at the cross? It's a monumental battle between Jesus and the devil. And Jesus is bruised. He is bloodied. He is beaten to a pulp. And yet, Satan is defeated at the cross. One of the best stories I've ever heard is from a missionary who was down in South America. This missionary said they had moved down near the Amazon, and they had set up a tent, and they had set up all their gear in this tent. This was in a different era where they had a ham radio, and they were using the ham radio to communicate with the outside world. Well, they were out gathering something to eat, and the little boy of the missionary ran and said, "Daddy, Daddy, oh, Daddy." I went into the tent, and there has, in the back of the tent, I saw this huge snake. And the missionary went in there and coiled up in the cool shade of that tent was a 30-foot python. Now, the missionary was my kind of guy. He brought a 9mm pistol with him. And he said, "You know, okay, let's see what we can do about this." And he peeked back in there, and sure enough, that huge snake, 30 foot long, he seemed to be asleep. So the missionary edged up near him. He put that pistol right between his eyes, and he shot him. Boom! Well, that snake was essentially dead, but didn't know it. I mean, he had been mortally wounded. He had had his skull crushed. But that snake began a death throw. He began to writhe around. He began to thrash. And that missionary said he tore up the ham radio. He tore up everything in that tent. As he was in the process of dying, he destroyed. And my friends, that's exactly how Satan works. He's a defeated foe. But as he dies, he destroys. Let me show you the bottom line. It's in Revelation chapter 20. It's on your outline to encourage you. Here's the bottom line, Revelation 20, verse 10. "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever." That's the outcome of evil. When you go against the will of God, when you refuse to submit yourself to the will of God and say, "It's my will, not thy will," this is the result. You are defeated eternally. Well, here's the bottom line. Let's make this the take-home point. Let me simply call it onward. Onward. Onward, Christian soldiers. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, in response to Peter's affirmation and recognition that Jesus was the appointed Christ, the Savior and Messiah of humanity, he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." It's an offensive statement. It says, onward, Christian soldiers. You're equipped for battle. Onward, Christian soldiers. Onward as to war. You see, what I've discovered is the devil is allergic to the name of Jesus, to the blood of Jesus, and to the cross of Jesus. Onward, Christian soldiers. Onward as to war. With the cross of Christ going on before. You see, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this great truth about our victory. Lord, you win in the end, and we share your victory. We don't have to be defeated by the devil. Lord, I pray that you would use this teaching, seal it to our hearts, that we may be wise about our adversary and constantly join you on the winning side. I pray that your spirit would be free to move among us today and speak your truth and draw people into your family. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.